Well, well, well. Good morning, folks. Am I turned on? Can you hear me? We're good. Okay. Well, good morning, folks. Morning. Beautiful morning out there, isn't it? I want to thank everybody that came down yesterday. It means a lot that we want to take time to take care of the building that God gave us to meet in and make it look appealing to people that would hopefully come by and learn a little bit more about Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, as we come to You this morning, we ask that You would open our hearts and our minds to receive the Word through Your Word. I'd ask that You give me the ability to speak Your Word clearly and concisely and don't get in the way of what You would have each individual know through the Spirit. Father, I ask that You would be the same with Mike as he brings forth our teaching, and let us glorify You as we walk through our daily life. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Okay. Those. Computer just restarted, so it wants to open up all kinds. Okay. We are going to start in 1 Corinthians 15:1. I reading this and I stopped and I'm like, nah. This is going to take a little bit more time than I had. So we're going to start in 14:1 today. And as usual, let's review on what we talked about last week coming into this. And what did we talk about last week coming into this? Body being one. But the whole idea of that is they were talking about all the spiritual gifts. And he named a whole series of spiritual gifts, did he not? But he says that all these things will pass away. The spiritual gifts were not given. They were given to lead people toward what was to come. And now once the word has been fulfilled, we don't need spiritual gifts. But there's one spiritual gift that we should always have. And that talks about, and it says, charity. Charity. And that's what it's called in King James. Other places call it love. But we found out last week that this is just not the arbitrary love of that we think that we know. This is a awful feeling, godly love for man. They call it agape. And it's a love that I guarantee you surpasses all of our understanding because it comes from God. So, now we're going to get into it. We're going to start in 14:1. I always like starting at the beginning of a chapter. Whoever designed these chapters, they usually did a pretty good job of breaking up where the ideas flow. So it says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. So it says to follow after this love of the body, okay? To love each other as you love yourself, so that not to set any person aside. Because I'm never going to set myself aside. I'm always going to love myself. And it says, and desire spiritual gifts. So is it wrong to want to have these spiritual gifts? Scripture says to desire the spiritual gifts. He says, but rather that ye may prophecy, because evidently, I draw a conclusion to what I read. Evidently, there was a strong wanting to go toward the gift of tongues. And we see that even in our church, do we not? You know, everybody's watched the stuff on television or been in a thing where somebody will be preaching. All of a sudden, he blurts out a bunch of unintelligible words. And now we call that speaking in tongues. Or you've been inside a church, and all of a sudden somebody in the back steps up and just starts babbling. And they call that speaking in tongues or being in the Spirit. That's what a lot of our brethren from other denominations believe. And they believe that if you don't do that, you're not fully in the Spirit of God. Now, I don't want to demean them in any way, but I truly don't believe it. I kind of think Scripture teaches against it, and I think this chapter teaches against it. Sir? No, I don't demean anybody. But it says, but he would rather that ye may prophesy. It goes on to say, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. And why does he say this? He says, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now, when Paul kind of talks about mysteries, when we hear Paul's talking about mysteries, what are we talking about? Something that wasn't known that God is teaching through the prophesying of this individual. And evidently, this person speaking in tongues, this is somebody that has the gift of tongues, God-given gift of tongues, that's able to speak a different language. But if somebody walks in here, when Pastor Tony was standing up here in this podium up here, and if he gave a whole sermon in Spanish, could he be teaching the truth about grace of God? Is it edifying the body? Why? We don't understand it. So if somebody comes up here and he's speaking in tongues, even though it's a true tongue, and he's using it to tell about the grace of God, it's not edifying the body. And if somebody at this particular time come in and he spoke in an unknown tongue without somebody there to translate what he was saying, it does not edify the body. So it does not build up the church, does it not? It says, but he that prophesieth speak unto man to edification, exhortation, and comfort. So somebody that comes in and speaks an intelligent language, and he's prophesying, he's telling about what God would have you know, he builds up the body. So in this way, prophesying, Paul is saying that I would much rather you prophesy than to speak in a tongue. Because why? Does it help you in any way? These are not given to help the individual. These are given to help the church grow. Yes, sir. Well, let me, you're asking about the word prophesied or prophesieth in here, and let me jump to my, and I have a concordance, so let me take a look at something here. Yes, but whenever you're talking, when we think of prophecy, what do we think of? But when we say that there's a prophecy, when we say that Christ fulfilled prophecy, where old people would tell in the future what Christ is going to do. And being that came to pass, it proved that they were prophets, right? Sometimes, and this whole thing about prophecy, I didn't study exactly that, Coach, and I don't know if I'm able to answer your question fully. I think Coach's question is, what exactly is the meaning of the prophecy here? Is it somebody that is telling, did they get some kind of specific prophecy from God that they need to, that's unknown at that time and needs to be told. And possibly at this time, because they used the word mysteries back in the thing, and mysteries are something that was hidden in God. And we know at this particular time that, we know at that particular time there was no written scripture, was there? So the canon was being built at that particular time. God was using different ways at that time. He was still using the sign gifts at that time to build the church, right? Is God doing that nowadays? Do we have prophets that come in and tell us new stuff about God all day nowadays? This can't, when God gave that up to Paul to fulfill this understanding of Scripture, I'm a firm believer that we have what God wants us to have right now in the 66 books of the Bible. No. Yeah, and I think that's a teaching we'll get into here in a minute. Yeah. And I get where you're going with that, Coach. I don't know. I can see a bunch of people come together with the gift of prophecy, and everybody want to say what they want to say. And I think that later on. So let's move on just a little bit. It says, "But he that prophesies speaketh unto man to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church." So, is the gift of tongues a good thing? Yes, it is. The gift of tongues is a good thing. Let me ask you a question. I have a young lady at work. She's Hispanic. She grew up in an Hispanic household. She can't speak Spanish. Her parents can speak Spanish. She can understand certain phrases and words, but she's not fluent in Spanish. Why? She was born into an Hispanic, but she lived in America. And what do we speak in America? Well, we speak a form of English. Some of us call it Texan, and some of us are unintelligible when they come from like the hills of Virginia. Or no, was it West Virginia? Yeah, West Virginia, yeah. There were some real hicks down there. But anyway. Yeah, I'm going to get to that. I'm doing analogies right now. And so, the gift of tongues was needed. Understand that all these people, the gift of tongues was given on the day of Pentecost, was it not? And it was given to Peter because whenever he spoke, everybody heard him in their own language. Why was that necessary? Weren't they not all Jews? Could they not all speak Jewish? Well, wait a second. Well, maybe, but are they not all Hispanic people? Do they not all speak Spanish? No, they grew up in an area. They moved to different areas, right? And these different areas have different languages they speak and different dialects. It's amazing, and we don't think this. We think, well, they're all Jews, they should be able to understand itself. But we see these languages die out. Why? Because you have a language that may be spoke in church on a Sunday or Saturday for their thing. And then the rest of the 6 days of the week, or when they leave that church, or the rest of the time, they have got to converse with the rest of the world, do they not? Right now, in our day and age, what's the prevailing language of commerce in the world? English. In their day, what was the prevailing language of commerce in the world? Greek. After that, there was some Roman, and there was some, what Rome is? Latin. Latin's a damn language, right? Greek, the way they spoke it, was a dead language now. Sooner or later, if God tarries, English will probably be a dead language. Yes, sir. And that's my point. They're all Jews, and I'm sure that they grew up in a household when they went to synagogue on Sunday, and I'm sure they spoke Hebrew in synagogue, right? But it's not something they went through every day. And if you don't, it's like anything. If you don't do it every day, you lose it, right? You lose the ability. And because, yeah, we'll do that on Sunday, but during the weekday, we're going to do what we want to do. Isn't that what we do as a Christian sometimes? Well, I've only went to one Catholic service ever, Terry, and it kind of turned me off because they have a little book, and they say something, and you say something, and they say something. And it's all really scripted, and to me, it just was kind of weird. Yes, sir. Yeah. Every man heard in his own language. Heard in his own language. But that was the beginning of it. And but see, these people are coveting their tongues over other things. And it said that I would much rather you prophesy because it edifies the whole church than speak in an unknown language where people don't understand you. It says, I would that ye all speak in tongues. It would be great if everybody spoke in tongues. It's a great gift to have. He says, I would not hold it against each one of y'all to be able to speak in tongues. It's a great gift to have. But rather ye prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. So, the guy that speaks in tongues, evidently there's people that could speak in tongues. And there's other people over there that would translate people speaking in tongues. It's kind of a different, maybe it's a shoot off of what tongues really was. So unless there's somebody there to interpret what this person is saying. So if we had Pastor Tony up here speaking Spanish. Well, let's just do that. Let's not even do that. We had somebody up here speaking Spanish, but we have a deaf person over here. And he's speaking, and they see the mouth moving, right? But what has it edifying the person that can't hear? But what if we have somebody that comes along that knows sign language? Now, he's speaking, and somebody's over here doing... Now, that person that can't hear, he's being edified, right? So, it's saying that speaking in tongues is not a bad thing. I don't mind. Y'all, it's a good thing to have. But it's much more better in East Texas terms. I know that's not pretty good English. But it's much more better to be able to prophesy, unless, of course, you have this ability to be able to translate what these people are speaking. You see how he's talking about how the prophesying, or this is not about the individual, it's about edifying the body as a whole. You see what he's going with this? It says, now, brethren, If I come to you speaking in tongues, what shall it profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophecy or by doctrine? So if I come to you speaking in tongues, and I'm not speaking about prophecy, or if I'm not speaking about through some kind of revelation, through some kind of knowledge, or by or prophecy or doctrine, it's, even though I'm speaking in tongues, is it edifying the body? So if I come up here and I'm speaking in an unknown tongue and I'm telling you about the price of bread down at the corner drugstore, is that edifying the body? It says that even things, that's a church maybe see it. Okay, and it says, even things without life giving sounds, whether it be a pipe or a harp, except they have a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harp? I'm going to bring this into, I'm going to go back to a different translation because I like another English, a newer English translation for this. Okay. I'm going to jump back to 6 and bring it out into a more English, a later English translation. It says, now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking in tongues, what shall it profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophecy or by doctrine. There's no profit to you unless I'm speaking these sort of things. It says, even without life giving sound, whether a pipe or harp, except they give it with distinction in the sound, it shall not be known what is piped or harp. If I get up there and get on a harp, and I start playing that harp, are you going to know what I'm playing? Am I trained? Do I have the ability to train to do a harp? If the notes are not distinguishable, then I'm just strumming, right? There's no edifying. It's just endless noise. It's not recognizable of anything that's of value. Yes, sir. I think the distinction here is between a sound which you can understand, that's pleasing, that builds up, and a sound which is distracting or distorting, that does not build up. And if that's where we're going next. It says, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? I don't, in the Marine Corps, we didn't use trumpets. We used radios. In quiet times, when you had just hand signals, but there was a time whenever to get going, you had to blow the charge, right? And if something happened, you would blow a retreat. There was times on ship when you were a Navy guy, they would have these pipes and they would sing out wee wee wee, and that means do this, or they would do another sound, another series, and you're trained to recognize exactly what these are so that whenever you hear this sound, you get to your battle stations, or you retreat. Or, you know, days before that, they would have flags go up, and that's how they would direct their people, right? Because in the middle of a battle, and everybody's screaming, and people are dying, and there's commotion and melee and confusion, how do you control this battle? Well, they used horns, right? And they would give a certain sound to control that battle. And there's also a sound to form for battle and to do different things. So if that person given that sound, that person operating that horn, if he gave a sound which was unintelligible, was not comprehensible, what good is it? And not only that, but let me ask you a question. This guy's that responsible for giving these sounds. If he blows the wrong notes, if he does the wrong sound, what happens? Not only is it not edifying, it's destructive. Because now you got people doing what the people don't need to be doing. Maybe they're retreating when they should be charging. It's a more expeditious way. Terry brought the time of Moses. How many people were in Exodus? How many Jews were there? Okay, so if I'm going to give a command, and I want people to follow me. Okay, everybody, pack your stuff up. We're moving to the south. I tell you that. Okay, you go and tell your neighbor that. How long would it take to get to 2 million people? Do you think it's going to be the same story when you get to the end of the 2 million that you gave at the beginning? Is not a trumpet, or that's a more easily way to do this? But if it gives the wrong sound, if it's unintellectual, unintelligible, then it's wasteful. It's junk. It's no needed. Just like if somebody's coming in speaking in tongues and nobody's understanding. It's he may be speaking to God, and he may be speaking the words of truth. But if you don't understand it, how good is it? Is it any good to you? Is it helping the body at all? It says, so likewise, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. If you cannot speak it intelligently, what good is it? You're just blowing hot air out your mouth. Yes, the church is getting warmer on a cold day, but that's about the only thing that's happening. There are, if it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. There are many tongues in the world. When it says many voices, it says there's a lot of dialects, there's a lot of tongues, there's a lot of different languages in the world, okay? And none of them are without meaning. That people understand these different languages, right? If I'm Portuguese and I'm talking to another Portuguese person, they understand me. And we can comprehend different things. But if this Portuguese person starts talking to this Spanish person, even though we think it's the same language, it's not. They're going to be... Dang, I learned about that on OP Live, because they have like translators these cops have to use all the time. It's terrible out there to be them. It says, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian to me. When we say barbarian, what do they mean? A foreigner. So if I speak to somebody, and if somebody comes up here and I'm telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's Hispanic, and he doesn't speak English, what good is it to him? And what good is it to me? I'm blowing hot air to somebody that doesn't understand. I would do better if I could find somebody that can translate for me and tell them what to. If somebody comes in to have their car worked on, and we see this all the time, and they speak Spanish, there's a language barrier. It's hard to communicate, especially between somebody else. Especially, and if it's hard to communicate through an interpreter if you ever try to do it. He says, even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous in the spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Y'all people, y'all seek to, you long for these spiritual gifts, but do so to edify the church and not your own self. Wherefore, let him that speaketh with an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. If you pray in an unknown tongue and you don't know what you're praying, how is it fruitful to you? I don't know if he's talking about gibberish here. I just, when I say unknown tongue, usually in tongues they're talking about a language. So I think generally when you see tongues in this particular area, I think you're talking about languages. It says, what is it then? I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing in the Spirit, and I will sing with understanding also. I'm not going to pray into unintelligibly. I'm going to pray in a way that I can understand what I say. I'm going to do the same thing when I sing. You pray to God. He understands. He understands. It says in other parts of the books that we know not what we should pray, but the Spirit makes intercession for us, interceding for us during that particular time. Have you ever had a time when you had to pray and you really just didn't know the words? Sometimes just be quiet and pray to God. He knows what you want. He knows what you need. It says, if you don't pray with understanding and you don't sing with understanding, it says, else when you shall bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room and unlearned say, amen, that thy giving of thanks and seeing understandeth not what thou sayest. And I'm going to bring this up. Let me back up a little. It says, for I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is, for if I pray in a tongue, I'm going back to 14. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I'm bringing this to me. This is ESV. It says, I will pray with my spirit, but, let's see. What am I to do? Question mark. It says, I'm messing this all up. Let me start all over. Because I'm putting words in that shouldn't be there. 15. What am I to do? I pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I pray with my spirit, but I'm going to pray with understanding of what I'm talking about. When he says mind, he has understanding of what he's talking about. He says, I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing. When you sing, you voice stuff, right? So when I sing, I'm going to sing with my mind also. And what do you think he means when he says, I'm going to sing with my mind also? I'm going to sing understandably. I'm going to understand what I'm saying. So, and I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it where you understand what I'm saying too. It says, for otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? So if somebody, if you're singing in some weird tongue that nobody understands, you're not understanding. If people are not understanding what you're saying, how can they say amen to agree with you? If Tony was up here speaking in Spanish and he says, "Praise be the Lord Jesus Christ and everything He's done for us," and I want to agree with that, but I don't know what he's saying. How can I say amen if I don't understand what the man's saying? Does it edify the church if I stand up here and I speak to a language and you don't understand what I'm saying? And it's hard sometimes to get an idea across, but I'm trying to get an idea across, and it's a good idea, but I cannot fully get that across to you. You're not going to sit back and say, "Yeah, I want to hear more of that." Amen, amen, Brother Terry, because you don't understand what I'm saying. Says, "For many," or it says, for you may give in thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up." You may be giving thanks well enough to the Lord Jesus, but they don't understand. And these gifts are not made to build you up, it's made to build the body up. It says, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you." Yes, sir. I think interpretation is a form of tongues, but I think it's kind of a separate gift. I would say yes. Well, it says and it'll talk about it in a minute. It'll say let one person speak and let another person interpret. He says that. And what Wesley says is that would we think that the gift of interpretation is another gift given by God? Because it said earlier, you should pray not for tongues, but to be able to interpret the tongue. So I think it's two. Is a known language to individuals, but it might not be known to me. Spanish is a known language, but I can't, unless I'm talking at Taco Bell. But is there a possibility, Coach? I think this is what Wes is hitting. Is there a possibility that not only is there a gift of tongues, but is there also the gift of the interpretation of those tongues given by God? If you have somebody coming in speaking in tongues, the congregation doesn't, but maybe there's a person sitting over here that has the gift of the interpretation of tongues, that he can tell them what these people are saying. Because it goes on later saying on here that if somebody's speaking in tongues, let somebody interpret. In a known language, so the interpreter would be a translator, in our terms. Well, ain't this interesting? I'm on tape, Wes. I'm not going to try and interpret that over to people. I think that's something that we would discuss in a closed situation. With the way we're going right here, I think anybody listening to us on the other side is getting gibberish. Okay, so I'm gonna have to shut this off. If we want to talk about that, we can talk about that a little later on. But right now, we're being uncomprehendable to people on the other side if they were listening to this. It says, nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak in five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. I would rather give you five words that build you up, that instruct others, than to speak 10,000 words in tongues that doesn't do anything for you. Why? Because it builds up the body. The tongues, all these gifts are given to build the body up. It says, brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but be in your thinking, be mature. Don't be babies in the way you think. Be children in staying away from the evil that's out there. But in your thinking, be mature. Don't chase after the things that are not edifying to the church. It says, in the law it is written, by people of strange tongues and by the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people, and even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. There's a prophecy for you. A prophecy coming from the Old Testament. It says that in that law that there was going to be people of strange tongues. Guess who the people of strange tongues are? The people of strange tongues, and by the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. Now, anytime you're talking about this people in the Old Testament, who are you talking about? Okay, the Jews. And it says, by people of strange tongues and by lips of foreigners, I will speak to them Jews. And even then, they will not listen to me. Do you not think he's been doing that for 2,000 years? Do you not still think he's doing that to this day? And as a nation, the Jews still have not turned toward him? There will come a time when they will listen. But you see that this prophecy is fulfilled and being continually fulfilled even in this day. And this time it was new. But it's going on for how many years? Tongues are not a sign for believers. Unbelievers. How's that? But people covet this tongue. They covet tongues to this day. It says, why is that? It says, while prophecy is a sign not for unbelievers, but for believers. For if therefore the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues, and an outsider or unbeliever enters, will they not say that you are out of your minds? Why? Because everybody's speaking in tongues, right? Everybody's speaking in an unknown tongue. Has anybody thought about what it would sound like at the United Nations if all the delegates stood up and started talking at the same time? In their own language? Could anybody comprehend? Even if you understood the language, could you comprehend anything that was going on in that maelstrom? It's confusion, utter confusion. And if that happened in this church, if every one of us was standing up and speaking our own language and somebody walked in the door, he's like, them people are crazy. Does that edify and grow the church in any way? That's what tongues was given for, is to edify and grow the church. But it's given for outsiders to bring them in. Prophecy, on the other hand, is given to build up the church. So, as you can see, the prophecy is for the believer, but the tongues is for getting people into the church, and then we build them up with prophecy. good teaching. But if, no, unbelievers for, if therefore, oh, I'm going to speak in tongues, outsiders, no, no. I think I'm in 24. Am I in 24? 23. 23. If therefore the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues, or outsiders, believers, enters, will they not say that you are out of your minds? But if all prophesy and the unbeliever enter from an outsider enters, he is convicted. And he is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. You see the difference between prophesying and tongue? Though this is what Scripture says. It says, what then, brothers? When you come together, each one of you have a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. And this is what Coach was alluding to earlier. When it wasn't like in first century churches, it wasn't like what we do today where somebody stands up and gives a lesson as to what I think the Bible's saying. And you read along with me and the Holy Spirit teaches you through His words. And I'm just the leader up here leading you along a path. When they come together, it says each person, when they come together, each one had a hymn, each one had a lesson, each one had a revelation, each one had a tongue, each one had an interpretation. There were spiritual gifts out there. It's more like a Bible study group where people come together and they talk. And it says, let all things be done for a building up. For if any speak in a tongue, and again, we're talking about unknown language, let there be only two or three at the most, and let each take turn, and let someone interpret. So in other words, don't everybody speak once. Let only a couple people get it. You don't want a whole maelstrom of different stuff going on. Keep it under control so that it's not a crazy mess of ideas being thrown out there. And if you're speaking in a tongue, make sure there's somebody there to let everybody know what you're saying, because if you're speaking in a tongue and they don't know what you're saying, it is of no benefit to anyone but yourself. Because the tongues was a gift given from God, and evidently you have something to say. They just don't understand what you're saying. It goes on to state, but if no one is there to interpret, let each of them keep silent in church and speak to himself and to God. So if there's no one there to interpret what you have to say, don't be a distraction. Because if you stand up and you start talking in an unintelligible tongue and there's nobody there to interpret, it's not going to help anybody out. Again, we come together to build the body of Christ up, do we not? It says, goes on to say, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what they're said. Keep it simple. Don't let everybody, you don't need a whole lot of ideas out there. Let two or three people speak, and let the others look at what they said and weigh it against what the Bible's telling them or what they know about Christ at that particular time. Weigh this. Let them discern what is being taught at that particular time, whether it is right. If a revelation is made to another setting there, let the first be silent. If somebody's there speaking, give the guy a chance to say what. If there's a revelation being made, be quiet and listen to the guy first. Because how many times have we just tried to I ain't putting up with this. Just try. How many times have who here has watched a debate on television? All of a sudden, they talk over each other, and you can't hear anything either one of them has to say. Is that edifying to anybody? For if all prophesy one by one, for you can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and be encouraged. Because if you can sit down and you prophesy one by one and you talk about things, then everybody's encouraged. You don't have somebody sitting over here trying to figure out what everybody's saying because everybody's talking over one another. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. What do y'all think this means? I was kind of looking at this one. I was like, man, that's a weird set of ideas. Again, we're talking about how you, what is the context of what we're talking about? How you run the church where when you walk in, it doesn't look like a catastrophe. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. These spirits that are given to the prophets, these people are speaking, you can control these spirits. You don't have to spout out all the time. It's not, I got to get this out right now. I can't control it. It says, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. God is not a God of confusion. He's a God of peace. As in all the churches of the saints. The women should keep silent in church, for they are not permitted to speak. Yeah, here we go. They should not be permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law said also. If there's anything they desire to learn, let them learn from their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. I didn't say it, ladies. The Bible did. Now, it's very, and I'm not going to sit up here and I'm not going to berate the thing. What you hear, you have to read this and understand it for your own. Understand, but this puts a heightened sense on us men. If I am to be the man of my house, if I am to be a godly man, and if I am supposed to be able to teach my wife, and she's not supposed to say anything in church, what does that do to me? What does that make me do? I've got to be the one answering those questions. And I should be able to do that. Am I not the head of my household? Am I not, by God, supposed to be the person in charge of my household? Should not my wife be able to come to me and ask me questions? I'd be able to give her intelligent answers about this sort of stuff? If I'm not, I'm not a very godly man, am I? So, in a way, it's a blessing to the ladies. They don't have to stand up and church. We have to know this stuff. We have to study. Now, does this mean the ladies are any less? In God's eyes, we're all the same. But just like in different ways, in certain areas it says that the ladies are not allowed to, ladies in our understanding are not supposed to be in leadership positions of the church. But they are supposed to be able to teach the children. They're supposed to be able to run their own household. Does that make them any less in God's eyes? Absolutely not. I was early on about saying that how, women, he made the whole thing early on about how women come from man, right? But they're at his rib. But also, men come from women. It's a thing that works together. Now, what y'all do with this is up to y'all. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And that's where I'm going to leave it, because I'm not going to make a big discussion over whether my lovely lady should be able to speak in church. I'm telling you what the
Bible says.
Go in there, Coach. It says, is there anything, if there's anything they learn from their husband, it says, or was it from you that the word came? Now he's speaking to the whole church. He's like, did the word come out of y'all first? Where did the word originally come from? Where did they start this? It came. Was where the first church was started after the day of Pentecost. Did this originate here in Corinth? No, this word didn't originate here in Corinth. Are you the only ones that it has reached? Are you the only people that have heard what God has to say about this? No, it's went out to the whole world. Are y'all so special? If anyone thinks he's a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I am writing to you are a commandment of the Lord. That's a strong statement, is it not? Oh, that's a strong statement. Paul's saying right here that if you think you're spiritual, if you think you're a prophet, then you need to acknowledge that what I'm writing to you here are words from God Himself. And what you do with it is going to affect your relationship you have with God, is it not? Do we want to continue to be our own little gods? Or do we want to be in subjection to the will of God? That's the battle we have every day, is it not? And it's going to be ongoing. What I'm telling you here is nothing that we don't fight every day, ladies and gentlemen. He says, if anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. If you don't recognize this, then maybe you need to look inside yourself a little bit more. You cannot recognize that what Paul is writing is the Word of God, a commandment of the Lord. Then, I like King James over here. He says, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. If you do not want to understand that what I write to you is a command from the Lord. If you want to be ignorant, then be ignorant. If you want to be stupid, then be stupid. He says, so, my brothers, earnestly desire prophecy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. So, they're saying, he's like, yearn for prophecy, because why do we want to yearn for prophecy? Because it builds the body up, right? And don't forbid people speaking in tongues, because speaking in tongues can be useful and is a gift of God. It is a signed gift that was given of that day and used in the proper area and proper way. It is a benefit to the church. But evidently they weren't using it that way. If it was, he would not be teaching on this lesson, would he? When Paul teaches a lesson, he's trying to correct an action that they're doing. And his final thought in this chapter, he says, but all things should be done decently and in order. And I think that's something we should all strive to do. God said it early on, or the scripture said it already, God is not a God of confusion. Okay? He is not a God. He has... If you walk into a place and you see a bunch of craziness going on, be understanding that God may not be there. Okay? And I think I want to end with that. Anybody got anything for me? And I apologize for breaking away from certain areas, but guys, I just can't. delved off into that in this particular setting. And if we want to delve off into that, I think that's something that we would probably want to do in a more intimate setting where we can go back together and go back and forth in Scripture, talk about that sort of stuff, okay? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Wes, would you close this morning, sir?